quickly I forget.
Okay, I'm going to start again so we get the recording. Hi, I'm Linda Teodosio on behalf of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. I would like to welcome you to today's program. This is always one of the programs we most look forward to each year. Our topic for today is how God has walked with me through high school. At this time, it's my pleasure to introduce Alec Hawes, a seventh grader at Immaculate Heart of Mary School, who will give our invocation. Alec?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. O Christ Jesus, by your ministry and by your cross, you taught us the greatest lessons of God's love for us. You are the Lord, our Rabbi, and our teacher. As you instilled in your disciples a love for truth, beauty, and goodness, instill in us a fervent desire to always learn and to, thereby grow closer to our Father in heaven. As we reflect upon the importance of Catholic education in our lives, remind us of the blessings you bestow upon us through our teachers, mentors, priests, and friends. May our knowledge always be rooted in the truth that you have taught us. In your name, we pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That was wonderful. Before I go any further, just a reminder to please silence or turn off your cell phones so that we can hear the full presentation today. It's now my pleasure to introduce our board president, Carla Bellinger, who will introduce today's presenters and moderate our talk today.
We have four delightful high school students who will share with us how God has walked with them through high school. I would ask all four of them to come up to the podium. Stand here with me, please. Just come up. I would say there's not a lot of space, but none of them said they were nervous. But I would ask you just all to just raise your hand and let's ask a blessing. The four of you bow your heads and all these holy people will give a blessing on your talks. Lord, we ask you to bless these young people. Send your spirit upon them to speak to us with fervor, with reverence, and with delight. And thank you for the lives that they have and the families that have nurtured them, the schools that have supported them. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and grant you his peace. And we all say,
Amen. Amen.
All right. We drew straws. And here's the order we're going in. First, we will have a representative from Hoban. Second, Our Lady of the Elms. Third, Walsh Jesuit. And fourth, St. V's, St. Mary's. So we have Henry, if you'll stay up. I would like to. Are you still hearing this? Can you hear me in the back? Okay. I would like to introduce to you Senior Henry Stitzel, son of Ted and Rita Stitzel. Henry is a member of Our Lady of Sorrows Parish in Peninsula, and he attended Seton Catholic Elementary School in Hudson. No cheers, please. Well, but we do have a number of Seton people. Henry is planning to attend St. John's College or University?
University
in New York, and hopefully major in chemistry. He's looking possibly to head to medical school. So would you please welcome Senior Henry Stitzel.
Good afternoon. My name is Henry Stitzel, and I am a senior at Archbishop Hoban. I'm the third of Ted and Rita Stitzel's six children. I attended Seton Catholic School for Elementary Education, and at Hoban, I am a member of Student Council on Spirit Committee, chair of the National Honor Society Tutoring Program, as well as member of the society, captain of the swim team, as well as a district qualifier, and a member of Hoban's theater program. Today, I would like to focus on two quotes. The first is a popular verse from the first letter of St. John that reads, God is love. The other quote, which is not nearly as renowned, comes from Pope John the 23rd, who once said, The secret in life is to let yourself be carried by others to God. My freshman year revolved around Pope John's quote. The first of my interactions with God through others would be during gym class. During one of the first days of phys ed, I remember walking with one of the few people I knew at the time, a certain Daniel Bott. When a volleyball, thrown by Nico Horatis, pelted me in the face, leaving me with a nose that was gushing blood. Though he may not have known it at the time, Nico was not only carrying me to the bathroom to stop my bleeding nose, he was carrying me to the Lord. I believe God was smacking me in the face and telling me to get out of my comfort zone and to introduce myself to others, even those who should probably stay away from volleyball tryouts. My sophomore year was fine, but I felt God's presence more powerfully during the following year. My junior year embodied the quote from the first letter of John, God is love. At the time, Hoban revised their spiritual growth project, and juniors were then required to attend a prayerful experience every 2 weeks. After hearing of the revision, I was frustrated and did not want to attend any sort of communal prayer, whether it be through Mass before school, basic Christian communities during lunch, or centering prayer after school. Reluctantly, I attended Mass. I can remember sitting in the Hugh O'Neill Memorial Chapel as Father Mike Osberg gave a brief but powerful homily. I changed my opinion about the project and began attending each session with excitement rather than annoyance. I tried other forms of prayer as well, but Mass was my favorite. And as I continued to go to Mass, I decided I wanted to become a Eucharistic minister, which I now am at Mother of Sorrows, my parish. In addition to the Spiritual Growth Project, in March of last year, I decided to apply for the Kairos Retreat. I had no true desire to attend the life-changing weekend, but was rather urged by my older brother, Teddy. And without that urge, I would not be the person I am today. During an intense weekend of prayer and reflection, I began to understand that even though every person has suffered in their own unique way, God's love is so powerful and so forgiving that there is no such thing as a point of no return. Through the witnesses of teachers and peers, I saw not only how God was in each and every one of us, but also the necessity of being God to others. The last witness given to the entire retreat was titled, Living the Fourth. In other words, this witness told us to remember what we learned at the retreat carries on into our daily lives. I will forever remember that God's love for us is not only eternal, but also all-encompassing. No matter what we do, God will always forgive us. We have the responsibility of guiding not only ourselves, but others back to the Lord. This past January, I journeyed to Honduras on a medical mission trip. Through divine intervention, I was selected to travel to the Central American country and serve the people of Honduras. However, there was a slight problem. I don't speak Spanish. When I said God intervened during the selection process, I truly meant it. Though the language difference may seem like a barrier, it was essential to my Honduran experience. Due to my lack of translating skills, I worked with the dentists and managed the seemingly endless line with a few phrases I had learned from some of the local translators. However, within a day, I received a different job. Nearly all the patients we saw during our brigades had cavities, which meant their teeth had to be pulled. Many patients were mothers with babies, and since it's fairly difficult to calm a baby when a dentist is yanking a tooth out of your skull, I became the baby holder. I can remember Claudio, one of the translators from Honduras, called me over and asked me to hold a woman's baby. I took the four-month-old in my arms, and she started to cry softly. But within a few seconds, she was quiet. She looked up at me with her big gray eyes, and in that moment, I felt as if I was in the presence of the Lord. And as the baby teethed on my shirt and gradually dozed off, I felt the love of God in a sort of unexplainable way. Though my Honduran experience was remarkable, as I look back at my high school career, I realized that I did not need to travel around the world to find God, for he had always been walking with me. He was active through many people, friends and family, of course, but especially through one man, Brother Bob Livernoy. He has motivated me to do some wonderful things. During my junior year, he aided my brother in persuading me to attend Kairos, and now he has convinced me to apply for a retreat leader position. At the beginning of this school year, he asked me to lead an all-school cheer on Hoban's first day back. and in addition, he selected me to speak at this meeting. Brother Bob has done more than spiritually guide me. He truly has carried me to the Lord. Through my high school experiences, I have come to understand that God works through all people. God is in me, and God is in you. Moreover, as I continue my education this fall at St. John's University, located in New York City, I hope to never forget that God is always walking with me, a statement I hope you always remember too. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Henry. Our second speaker, representing Our Lady of the Elms, is Marina Bosselman, the daughter of Dr. Mark and Mary Bosselman. You want to start coming up? Marina attended St. Barnabas Elementary School. She's still deciding between Hillsdale and Miami for college, possibly majoring in anthropology and or biology, or possibly pre-med. So I offer to you right now, Marina Bosselman.
As I look back on the last 4 years, I'm realizing that there are a lot of things that happened that if someone had told me about them before I even started high school, I would never have believed them. Some of those things are smaller and simpler, like the fact that I've been on the speech and debate team for 4 years, or that I chose to take AP Physics as a senior. Other experiences have been huge. I sang in a choir at the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes in France, and I was even on local TV for Academic Challenge. I've changed a lot over the course of high school, but I'm extremely grateful for one thing that has grown with me, my faith. If I had to choose one concept that I learned in high school that has changed my relationship with God, it would be the Dominican pillars. The Dominican pillars are not literal pillars, although that would be cool. They are actually the foremost fundamental principles of the Dominican religious order, the order that founded my high school. The four pillars are prayer, study, community, and preaching. And pretty much every Elms girl can list them without thinking about it by the time they're done with their first semester of ninth grade. When I was asked to think about how God has walked with me through high school, the pillars were the first thing I thought of, because I've come to associate one pillar with every year of high school. Freshman year was all about community. My class consisted of 35 girls, and many of us knew at most only a handful of Elms students. I know when I started, I knew exactly two people, and neither of them were actually in my class. It took a while, but over the course of that year, we got to know each other. We spent that year figuring ourselves out and forming our identity as a class in both normal academic days and special events. After all, no group can go through a week of dressing up in circus costumes for freshman initiation without developing some kind of a bond. Before the year was done, I knew that my classmates, who had all been total strangers to me just months before, were some of the best friends that I would ever have. After that, we were a community ourselves, and we also discovered our unique place in the greater community of our school. Once we had our community established, we moved on to sophomore year. The focus of that year's class retreat was the pillar that I've come to associate with that year, prayer. See, there's this idea that nothing happens sophomore year. It's completely true in some ways, but in other ways, it was one of the most important times of my life. I knew where I stood in my school and in my class. I was on solid ground, and that gave me the confidence that I needed to pursue something that I hadn't spent a great deal of time with before, my relationship with God. Before that year, faith was something that I did without any kind of real understanding or sincerity. That changed when I helped run my first retreat as a sophomore, the eighth grade retreat at my old elementary school. I did it because one of my old teachers asked me to. But on that retreat, I discovered something about the way that I connect with God. I encounter God when I see other people encountering God, if that makes any sense. In all seriousness, that retreat was a real turning point for me, because it showed me a way to take responsibility for my own faith. I decided that if I encountered God in others, I should put myself out there in situations where I could be with other people. I did more retreat teams and became a lector at my parish. Eventually, I kept building on that sophomore start by getting more involved in the Elms Faith and Spirituality team and becoming a Eucharistic minister. And it's a good thing, too, because once I hit junior year, I needed all the prayer I could get. That was the year when it was really time to buckle down and study, otherwise known as pillar number 3. Although, as a pillar, this is normally taken to mean study of scripture and modern issues, our definition expanded quite a bit that year. I don't know what it was about that junior year, but everyone was in a panic pretty much constantly because everyone knows that junior year grades are what colleges look at when you're applying. Never mind that that was an entire year away. I was not exempt from this academic frenzy, and even though I had by no means slacked off for my first 2 years of high school, I still found myself working harder than ever before. But I also faced another test that was far from academic. In September of my 11th grade year, my mom's breast cancer resurfaced after a 4-year remission. I promise, I'm not trying to turn this into a sob story. Just like the first time, the tumor was caught early on, and there was very little danger. I mention this time in my family's life because the months of my mom's chemo and radiation strained my relationship with pretty much everyone, including God. This wasn't the kind of test that I could prepare for, and for a few months, I spun out. I lost the connection I'd finally found just a year previously. It took some intervention by my wonderfully persistent youth minister, as well as a very odd coincidence at the National Catholic Youth Conference to get me back on track. In keeping with the pillar of study, one of the sessions I attended at that conference was a presentation given by a guy who calls himself the Bible Geek. He was reflecting on the story of David and Goliath, and how David was basically the biblical equivalent of the little brother bringing the Subway sandwiches, and he really wasn't supposed to be there in the first place, but he stepped up when everyone else was too afraid to take action. The speaker went on to say something like this: lots of times, teenagers are afraid to take action, just like those Israelites. They'll say, oh, I can't do anything that matters. I'm just a random kid from Our Lady of Whatever in wherever, Ohio. At that point, I looked down at the Our Lady of the Elms sweatshirt I happened to be wearing, then around the room at the approximately 2,000 people standing between me and that speaker. The only thing I could think was, this is more than a coincidence. It wasn't much, just a little offhand comment, but it was exactly what I needed to get back on track. So that brings me to this year, and there's really only one pillar left: preaching. This is what I call a pillar of transition. You take what you've learned from prayer, study, and community, gather it together, and bring it all out into the world. In a few months, that's exactly what I'll be doing. My time in high school is almost up, and I'll be off to the next phase of my life. I honestly have no idea where that next phase is going to take place yet. But in this situation, the where isn't as important as the how. I've spent this year reflecting on all the ways that I've changed and everything that I've learned in high school. What I've realized the pillars have taught me isn't just the importance of prayer, study, community, and preaching, but also the importance of balance. We all have personal pillars in our lives. They can be anything, and we can have as few or as many as we want, but we all have a few things that give us the foundation we need to have a relationship with God and to go out into the world as grounded human beings. During high school, I did learn a lot about the Dominican pillars, but I also learned about my own. My pillars are my faith, family, and friends. I couldn't live or thrive without any one of them. They are the source of all my joy, and they've made my road so far a journey to cherish. I found what I need in order to be rooted, and now that I have those roots firmly established, it's time for me to start growing. Thank you.
Our third speaker will be from Walsh Jesuit High School. Junior Michael Gunther, when we asked him what he was doing next year, he said going to Walsh Jesuit High School. At this point, he doesn't quite have to decide what he's doing for college. Michael is the son of Dan and Michelle Gunther, and he is a member of St. Bernard's Parish. He says that he's planning to go to Nicaragua this summer and would at some point like to join the Jesuit Volunteer Corps, and to the acclaim of Walsh Jesuit High School, he's thinking of a Jesuit college. So, Michael?
Hello, everyone. I am both honored and humbled to be speaking here today. My name is Michael Gunther, and I am a junior at Walsh Jesuit High School. I have been raised Catholic and have attended St. Bernard's since I was a young boy. Although I have always maintained a relationship with God, until I arrived at Walsh, that relationship was stagnant. Now, as God has walked with me through high school, my relationship with Him has grown and matured, helping to make me a stronger person spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. Although I firmly believe that God has been with me in all that I have done, there is one aspect of my life that I have felt God's presence most, on our school's Labra program. Our Labra program, named after St. Benedict Joseph Labra, was brought to Walsh Jesuits campus ministry program a little more than 8 years ago by the school up north, St. Ignatius. On Labra, every Monday night, a group of 6 students and 2 adults load up a van with food and supplies and go to the streets of Akron to feed the marginalized. We not only provide the homeless with food, but also give them something that I believe has equal importance, which is fellowship. Labra has given me the unique ability to grow in myself while still helping others. While we are providing the homeless with food, they may be helping us as much, if not more, than we are helping them. They never fail to humble me and remind me of the many blessings that I have received in my life. One person who has shown me God on Labra was a man named Sammy. I met Sammy on my first Labra experience and was struck by his kindness and compassion for all of us. Sammy was never one to shy away from conversation and would go out of his way to warn us students about the dangers of the streets and warn us not to end up like him. One of the first things he told me, which has stuck with me ever since, was, "I got stuck in the bottle and couldn't get out." What I now begin to realize is that Sammy was God walking and talking with me. This winter, I received the disturbing news that Sammy had passed away, likely murdered on the streets. I can assure you, coming into high school, I did not imagine myself being deeply saddened by the death of a homeless man. When Sammy died, it was one of the very first times I was able to see God in the dark times. Because Sammy was homeless, he had nobody to turn to and nobody to put on a funeral service for him. Because of that, Walsh put on a prayer service in memory of Sammy. When I walked into the chapel, the place was packed with students, teachers, and the marginalized. This was the first prayer service I had attended in memory of somebody I know, and I was in awe of the impact Sammy had had on so many people, including myself. I recognized God in that chapel. Another time I have felt God's presence walking with me was on my Kairos retreat this December. Kairos is a rather special experience, so without going too much into detail, I will simply explain it as a 4-day retreat in which you grow in your relationship with yourself, with others, and with God. For me, the three of those are intertwined. On Kairos, you are paired with 6 other people who become your best friends. Who become your small group. Before Kairos, I was struggling with my relationship with other people. I had convinced myself that people were innately bad and that the world was in a dark place. Then I went on Kairos, and in 4 days, 6 people who I had never met before became my best friends. I realized that if you can be put with 6 random people and in 4 days love them unconditionally, then people must be innately good. I also recognized that it was God who put me on that Kairos. God realized that I was struggling and that I needed His help, and He delivered in the best possible way with small group 2. God has been there, walking with me through my high school career. He has helped me mature into the person that I am today, and although my relationship with God has not yet been completed, I have never felt closer to Him than I do now. He has always been there for me, and I know that I can always turn to Him in times of struggle, and for that, I am eternally grateful. Thank you, and God bless.
Our fourth and final speaker from St. Vincent St. Mary High School is Senior Matt Carlson. Matt is the son of John and Patty Carlson. Matt attended St. Joseph Elementary School in Cuyahoga Falls. and he hasn't decided yet what he's doing for college, but he's looking at something science, math, engineering-ish. He also currently attends Our Lady of Victory in Talmadge. Please welcome Matt Carlson.
Even though this journey is through my high school experience, every trip has to start at the beginning. I was born as a cradle Catholic, the oldest child to an eventual family of four. My parents and brother lived the typical Catholic family life, attending Mass every Sunday at Our Lady of Victory and spending 9 years of school at St. Joseph's. In kindergarten, I was taught how to say the Hail Mary and how to share with others. First grade, I learned the parts of the Mass. Second was the Ten Commandments. And after that, Jesus' life was the main focus. We were always told to live like Jesus, like Jesus lived, and act how Jesus acted. Each year, my teachers emphasized that each one of us should try to see Christ in others, which is followed by the Bible verse of Matthew 25:40, "Whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you do for me." And then a couple stories on how to help the poor, being kind to our classmates, and no back-talking our parents. Being the grade school kid that I was, I shrugged it off as just an attempt for my classmates to get along. We heard the same lecture every year, and each time it was dismissed. It wasn't until last year when I truly realized what my teachers meant by their belabored message, but I'll get to that later. I started my freshman year at St. V, and I would say at this point in my life, I would describe my faith life as forced. I grew up Catholic, and that's all I knew. I was Catholic because my parents wanted me to be, and continually fought them every Sunday, claiming that Mass was boring and I had better things to do. I reluctantly went to Mass and smugly went through the motions. My mind was never present through the never-ending boring lecture, as I would call it. During the year, we had to complete at least 25 service hours. I did charitable works because I had to. I went to each place just to get the hours done, and it was a pain completing 25 hours. Honestly, the only positive aspect of my religious life was prayer. I prayed every night because I thought conversing with God was more important than any other aspect of my faith. To some extent, this was true, but I was missing the big picture. Sophomore year came around, and my relationship with God and my religious life were exactly the same. I dreaded going to Mass and again just did my service hours to go get it done. I never understood the true meaning of what charity was. Toward the end of the year, after I completed all of my service hours, I started to volunteer for our track coach under the All-Star Training Club, teaching special needs kids how to play soccer. I developed friendships with them and found myself coming back every week. I would say at this point in my life is where I really started to enjoy serving others. If I had to pinpoint a time in my high school where my faith life changed, I would definitely say my junior year. My first semester of religion class, we were required to do an extensive service project for an organization. We worked in groups of four, and my three friends and I decided to volunteer at St. Bernard's Soup Kitchen. Previously, I had volunteered here before because my aunt is very active in this organization, so I knew it would be a great way to get our service hours. Along with the countless hours spent at the church, my group and I held a school-wide toiletry drive for the homeless. We ended up collecting over $500 worth of supplies. What came as a shock to me was that all of the time and toiletries collected meant nothing to me looking back. I found something far more important. Every time that my group volunteered, I found myself talking to people that were there more and more. At first, sparking a conversation could be overwhelming, but once I realized that these people needed friendship and love more than food, it became easy. Specifically, one person stands out to me. The first time I served at St. Bernard's with my group, I talked to this young woman named Sharon. Sharon couldn't make ends meet, so she came every Wednesday for a free meal. I started talking to her more and more and found myself neglecting my duties just so I could get to know her. We developed a fast friendship and she even friended me on Facebook. Later on into the year, I applied for the Trish Ostrowski Peace Award for an excellence in service. I had to write an essay on how charitable actions have influenced me. I wrote an entire essay, which I later deleted and started writing new because I realized what my teachers in grade school had meant by helping others and seeing Christ in others. I wrote my entire essay about the relationship I had formed with Sharon. I realized that the amount of hours and money put into a charity mean a lot, but forming relationships and setting aside time for others can mean the world. My grade school teachers' voices rang through my head because I finally saw Christ in others. I saw Christ in Sharon. Each time that I went back to St. Bernard's to help, she would scream my name from across the room and run to me with the warmest embrace. She was the turning point in my life, in my faith life. Each time that I go back, I can see Christ in those people. I can see past their stereotypes of marginalized and truly see them as a person. I ended up winning the Peace Award, but realized that the award meant very little compared to the friendships that were formed. Senior year started, and the chaos consumed myself and all of my classmates. The first semester was spent writing essays, applying to colleges, and attempting to make our first decisions as adults. With all the confusion and lack of free time, it can be extremely easy to lose sight of God and put stress on your faith relationship. Taking the time to go to Mass can become difficult when other things demand your attention. Personally, I think St. V does a great job giving its students the opportunity to stay on track with God, whether it be school Mass almost every week, before school Mass on Mondays and Fridays, or even frequent visits from priests for reconciliation. Or my favorite, class retreats. This past winter, I attended Kairos 24 in hopes of developing deeper relationships with my classmates or starting new ones with peers that I don't talk to as much. Starting my retreat, I was a little hesitant to see what was going to happen. I can honestly say that attending Kairos was one of my best decisions. I did develop deeper relationships with my classmates and even God. A lot was put into perspective, and I realized how much I take for granted. I found an all-new sense of gratitude from my parents and the amount they sacrificed for me. Unfortunately, Kairos was only 4 days and eventually came to an end, and my classmates and I were thrown right back into the business of senior year. In conclusion, my journey with God started out a little shaky. At this point in my life, I find myself talking to God even more, possibly because I still don't know where I'm going to college or what I'm doing the rest of my life. Either way, God has really become a more important part of my life, and I plan on keeping that way once I head off to school next year. I can attribute 100% of my faith restoration to my junior year service project. Sharon and the rest of those at St. Bernard's opened my eyes and allowed me to truly see Christ in others. Thank you.
Thank you once again to all four of you for sharing something so personal that meant so very much to all of us. It's easy to see why this is a favorite session of the First Friday Club with all that you shared, and it certainly puts us older folks at peace to know that our future is in such good hands. So thank you once again for your wonderful presentation. With that, I'd like to make a few announcements. Our next First Friday Club luncheon will be on Friday, April 10th, 2015, here at the Quaker Station, 135 South Broadway in Akron, and it will feature Father George Smiga, Professor of the Sacred Scripture at St. Mary's Seminary and Graduate School of Theology. And his topic is Families of the Bible and Our Own Families. And please note that we will be meeting on the second Friday of the month in April. There's more information about that on the pamphlets on the table. I encourage you to take that with you. It lists not only next month's presentation, but also the rest of the presentations throughout the year. I wanted to draw a specific notice to the May 8th presentation, Grace Before Meals, Food for the Body, Mind, and Soul. It's going to be something really pretty special and pretty unique for our First Friday Club. There are going to be individuals that will have the opportunity to perhaps have a special meal prepared by Father Leo as part of that presentation. So you want to watch your email announcements because that is going to be a limited opportunity for folks to participate. So watch your email for more information as we get closer, but I can assure you it will be a presentation you won't want to miss as well. Reservations for all First Friday Club events can be made by sending a check to $15 to the First Friday Club at Greater Akron, 795 Russell Avenue, 44307. You can look at the pamphlets and also on our website, firstfridayclubofakron.org. There are question cards on your table. If you haven't already filled that out with a question, please take the opportunity to do so. We'll be calling our students back up to answer some questions shortly. And if you raise those up, one of our volunteers or board members will come around to collect those so that we can ask our students some questions. As you know, we record our presentations here. You can hear podcasts of previous First Friday Club luncheons by logging on to our website and downloading it. If there is someone that you think would have enjoyed today's luncheon but was unable to make it or is a shut-in, you can refer them to the website. They'll be able to hear this presentation shortly as well. You know, the other thing that's really very special about this this presentation is we have so many students that come to hear from their fellow students, and I would like to recognize the students that are here present with us today. So I'm asking that the students from Immaculate Heart of Mary, Holy Family, Seton, Archbishop Hoban, Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent, St. Mary, and Walsh Jesuit, if you could all please stand so we can recognize you for your presence. Did I miss any of the schools? And we certainly hope this won't be your last time joining us. We do this in the summer too, high school students, so when you're on your break or home from college, we hope that you won't be a stranger and join us again. Are you ready for questions? I've got one up here. And again, if you do have questions, even while they're answering questions, you can feel free to ask some others. So if I could invite the high school students to come up at this time, and we'll present some questions.
If you all want to have a seat, and you all get to answer these questions. Pope Francis has encouraged young people to go out into the world and mess things up. What does that mean to you?
Okay, why not? Okay.
I think messing things up, in a sense, means doing something out of the ordinary. For me, I went to Honduras, like I mentioned, and not knowing Spanish, I guess that's even messing things more up. But just doing something that not people expect, that people won't expect. So any act of, you know, kindness, any act of, you know, just giving yourself to others, kind of how I mess things up.
I think messing things up means when you go out to the world to make a change for the better, and to make like radical changes when we're adults that have lasting impacts.
I definitely agree with these two, as well as adding the fact that you need to have the courage to do that. Part of making a mess is being unafraid of doing that, being unafraid of doing things a little differently.
Personally, I agree with three before me, but I go to Mass every Saturday at 5:00, and I can say that my brother and myself are the youngest, and the average age is probably 90. So I think messing things up in the church is like obviously doing like kind works and such, but specifically like in the church, I think we're called to create like new things in the church today, and like as people are getting older, we're called, like the new kids are called to like step up and participate more in the actual church.
What words of wisdom would you give to our elementary students here today of life in general, but particularly to encourage them in the development of their relationship with God?
This is something that I have been, it's been a very long journey for me in terms of developing my relationship with God. And the best advice that I can give to any elementary students who are here today is not to be afraid to try new things. See what works for you. There are so many ways that you can develop a relationship with God. You can there are so many ways to get involved in a parish. What I would say you need to do is find a way that works with your strengths.
Yeah, I agree with her. It's a lot of finding yourself with God is going to be like stepping outside of your comfort zone at high school. Just doing things that like you didn't think you were going to do. Maybe not everything that you not all of your relationship with God has to be spiritual. Or excuse me, no, that's not what I mean. not everything. About your relationship with God has to be at Mass. It could be in your daily life, just finding God in those things.
I think the main thing to keep in mind in just everyday life is do everything for the greater glory of God. I mean, if it does not follow those guidelines, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. As long as you keep that in mind, I don't think you can go wrong.
For those of you going to high school soon, as a senior, I definitely say that you need to get involved as much as you can, non-religiously, but then also religiously also. In your church, get involved as much as you can. Find a group of friends to go to Mass with, or get involved in some youth groups.
Could all of you expand a little further on how influential your family was on your faith journey?
Well, I was raised Catholic from when I was a baby, from baptism and beyond. But my family, all of them are Catholic, and we try to go to Mass every Sunday or Saturday. And every weekend or feast day, we go to Mass together as a family. Like for Christmas and Easter, we celebrate together. So I think a sense of like community and like family can keep that bond with God strong.
A common saying in my house is family first. That means, you know, family before everything, before anything. But it also means that, you know, family is where we learn everything. And I have learned everything about faith, you know, growing up. It all comes from my parents. And just like they've been everything to me.
My entire family has been like very helpful and very encouraging to me my entire life, but especially my brother has been very influential to me. He graduated here from Walsh 2 years ago and 1 year ago. He's the reason that I got involved with campus ministry and the reason I went on Kairos, and he's probably the reason I'm here today. So.
Well, I don't know about the rest of these guys, but my family is here today, so I'll try not to mess this one up. My faith and my family have been very, very entwined pretty much from the day I was born. I have a very large extended family and a very Catholic extended family. And so not only am I going to Mass with my immediate family every weekend, but every milestone, every baptism, every confirmation, every First Communion is something that my family, my extended family, all celebrates together. And so having that, it brings kind of an association of with family, with faith, and with love. It all ties together for me in my mind. And that has really helped me to better understand that God is love.
Questioner asks, how do you feel that your faith in God guided you to choose the high school community that you chose?
So this one kind of goes back to the last question with family. Like I said, I'm the third of six children, and my brother picked Hoban. So he kind of, you know, started that whole chain of reaction of all of us going there. But definitely with him, you know, he was the one who, like, loved Hoban. And when I saw him come home every day from school, just happy as could be, I was like, this is the place that I need to be at.
Going off of what Henry said, it's a lot because of my brother, who was here 2 years before I was, and just him seeing like how happy he was at Walsh and how what a great impact it had on his life convinced me immediately that's where I was going to go. But now that I'm here, I know it's the best decision I've made in my life. So.
When I shadowed at the Elms at the end of my seventh grade year, one of the classes that I shadowed was a theology class. And that was, we spent a lot of the time just in prayer, just talking to God with each other. And when I was in there, probably there were maybe 12 or so girls in the class, and about half of a dozen of them said, "Oh, I'd like to pray for the shadow." And when I was in there, I just felt this overwhelming sense of community and of friendship, and I'm so glad that I went to the Elms, because it has been everything that theology class showed me, and that has helped me both find my community there and find my faith in a more profound way than I ever could have imagined as an eighth grader.
Since I'm the oldest child, I had like the opportunity to choose which high school I could go to, and I shadowed and went to open houses at all of them. But when I went to St. V, the one thing that like really stood out was the sense of community and family with all the students. When I shadowed, even though I was in seventh grade, I felt like a part of the community of students. So I think that was like really my pull to the school.
What does the term magis, or for the greater glory of God, mean to each one of you personally?
I mean, obviously I mentioned that before. Like I said, if it's not for the greater glory of God, you probably shouldn't be doing it. If you follow, you know, that simple phrase in life, I mean, you're not going to go wrong.
Well, my school's motto is for the greater glory of God, and our theme for this year is Do the Magis, so I better not mess this one up. Doing the Magis means doing more, and that is in line with doing things for the greater glory of God. And like he said, when you're doing something or making a big decision, I think it's important to take into account whether or not doing it will help you in your relationship with God. And if it doesn't, then it's probably not something you want to do.
Well, my school's motto is Veritas, so no help there. but I think that for the greater glory of God, it's a call to go above and beyond. There's a lot of people in here who went to Catholic school, and you're taught to do what Jesus did. You're taught to do good things. But I think that for the idea of doing those things for the greater glory of God just elevates it to a higher level and helps you to realize how important those things really are.
I think the doing it for the greater glory of God, like obviously going to Mass and praying and doing all of your devotions and such, but I think acting and every day, talking to people, just going on your everyday activities, you need to do it with God in mind, like the saying, what would Jesus do? But that really applies to like your everyday activities.
I want to thank you all for that marvelous presentation. I mean, don't you agree they were fantastic? And I want you to know that they were told that when the questions came up, if they didn't feel comfortable answering one of them, that they didn't have to, but all of them were brave enough to step up to the mic and I think ask some pretty difficult questions off the fly and do so with deep faith, so we know they speak from the heart. So I'm very proud of all of them and really appreciate their giving their time today. And we have a small token of our appreciation for each one of you for giving of your time today. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Michael.
Thank you so much. Before we have our closing prayer, there's just one announcement that I want to make. We have a lot of people here, and that's a good thing, but we have some buses too. So to make it easier for folks leaving, I've been told to ask that the students leave out the set of doors to my right and to your left, because the buses will be near there. That might get a little bit easier to clear the parking lot and for everyone to get to where they need to go. Okay? At this time, I would like to introduce Ryan Gable, a 7th grade student at Holy Family School, who will lead us in our closing prayer. Ryan?
In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Thank you to everyone involved in planning today's luncheon. As today's speakers reflected on how God has walked with them through high school, that those of us who are just beginning the high school selection process to reflect on how God will guide us to make the right choice. Let us go forth today in remembering that God walks with us in all that we do every day. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to everyone for being here today. On behalf of the First Friday Club, we wish you all a very blessed Easter as it comes up before we meet again, and we hope to see you next month. Be safe going home. Thank you.
And the shuttle is running outside the front door for those of you that would like a ride back to the parking lot.